भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So today we shall be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 15, text number 12. The title of the chapter is The Descendants of King Priyavrat. So please repeat after me. Yasya अध्वरे भगवान अध्वर आत्मा यज्ञ पुरुष मघुनी माद्यति उरु सोमपीठे श्रद्धा विशुद्ध अचल भक्ति योग समर्पित ईजा फलम आजहार The shloka is not written on the board, so those who have books can follow, otherwise you just try to repeat after me if possible. Thank you very much. Yasyadhvare Bhagavan Adhvaratma Magho Nimadya Tyuruso Mapite Shraddha Vishudha Chala Bhakti Yoga समर्पिते जा फलमाजहार यस्याध्वरे भगवान अध्वरात्मा मघो निमाद्य त्युरुसोमपीठे
Shraddha Vishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Phalamajahara Yasyadhvare Bhagavan Adhvaratma Magho Nimadya Tyurusoma Pithe Shraddha Vishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Phalamajahara Yasya Dhvare Bhagavana Dhvaratma Magho Nimadya Tyurusoma Pithe Shraddha Vishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Phalamajahara Yasya, of whom King Gaya, Adhvare, in his different sacrifices, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adhvara Atma, the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Yajna Purusha, Maghuni, when King Indra Madhyati, intoxicated, Uru, greatly, Somapite, drinking the intoxicate called Soma. Shraddha, by devotion. Vishuddha, purified. Achala, and steady. Bhakti Yoga, by devotional service. Samarpita, offered. Ija, of worshipping. Phalam, the result. Ajahara, accepted personally. In Maharaj Gaya's translation, in Maharaj Gaya's sacrifices, there was a great supply of the intoxicant known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of somaras. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. Please repeat. In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifices, there was a great supply of the intoxicant known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of Somaras. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena.
purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly king, Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vangcha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thank you very much for coming to this morning for the Bhagavatam lecture. First of all, I offer my most humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas, the senior Vaishnavas present here in the assembly, for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains about the wonderful qualities of Maharaj Gaya, who is a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So, Maharaj Gaya actually is exemplary in his actions. We can understand through the previous verses which we have been reading previously, we have been hearing classes here, that Maharaj Gaya was doing all his duties without false ego, without the thought that he is doing all these things. The reason for which that Maharaj Gaya is one of the exalted person by hearing here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we shall discuss a little bit about how Maharaj Gaya performed his activities without any tinge of false ego. And we shall also discuss what is this false ego, how it takes over the conditioned soul, and how we can also be free from the false ego, and what is the the rules and regulations to be practiced in order to be free from the false ego, and eventually to attain Krishna, to get his full blessing. For because Krishna, we get the blessing of Krishna only through the blessing of the Vaishnavas. And we get the blessing of the Vaishnavas only by serving the Vaishnavas without this conception of I and mine. So, actually the false ego, as explained by Ramanujacharya, that it's just like in our body, we are sitting in this body. We are sitting in this body. We are the soul. And the false ego, what he does, he just takes the ropes of the three moods of material nature and bind the jiva to this material world.
Like we are sitting here, just in front of the jiva, there is like a kind of mirror. And that mirror, this is according to Ramanujacharya, and that mirror is actually the mind. So, when the jiva, he forgets his swarup, that is, he does not know his swarup, he forgets that he is a servant of Krishna. So at that particular moment, the mind comes. And when the mind comes, then the false ego comes also. And the false ego, what he does, he just takes the rope and bind the jiva to that mirror. And then when the jiva, he looks in the mirror, when he looks into the mirror, he thinks that I am the mirror. He starts to think that I am the mirror. So this mirror is actually the mind. So he thinks that I am the mind. So eventually, if he thinks that I am the mind, certainly he will think that I am the thoughts. That's why he doesn't see any difference between him and his thoughts. And the thoughts develop, it becomes the idea. Just like we have different ideas of the same subject matter sometimes. Today we may be having some idea, and then tomorrow we got some new idea, and then the next day we got another idea. So all these ideas come from the thoughts of the mind. First of all, the mind, he think. And then through the thoughts come the idea, and then through the idea comes the beliefs, the conception. We establish some kind of conception in our life. We say, okay, even Krishna himself explained to Sri Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that by engaging in the fruitive activities, the conditioned soul, he creates his own shape of the mind. That is, he, just like we have seen, you know, this, what we call this plasticine, we can mold it into different shapes. So the mind also can be molded into different shapes. And because of this molding of the shapes of the mind, that's why we have different mentality, different attitude, different, because of different shapes of the mind. Understand this point? So all this is because of the engagement of the senses in sense gratification. And a devotee also has different traits, different mentality. This is because his consciousness is fully engaged in the service of Krishna. It depends upon the degrees of the surrender for the devotees to shape up his mind so that his perception, so that he can put his perception forward. So this is how the mind works. So first of all, he tries to identify himself with the mirror, and when he identifies, then what happened? All the objects which is in the mirror, which is being reflected in the mirror, these are the objects of the senses. Then he started to think that these objects are for me, or mine. All these belong to me. Whereas it is just a reflection in the mirror. This is the truth. So when he think like this, so then the false ego, what he does, he takes some big ropes like this. He comes and he binds the jiva, and he binds him to the material world, that is to the mind. But the moment he thinks that I am not my thoughts, he thinks I am not my mind. So I am the fact that I am not my mind, so which means I am not my thoughts. I am not my thoughts, which means I am not my idea. I am also not the fact I am not my idea, which means I am also not my beliefs and my conception. So then he is liberated. That is, he differentiates between him and his thoughts through the process of bhakti yoga. Even Ashtanga yoga also has the power to make a person think like this. He gets himself detached from the function of the mind. He sees himself and he sees a mind somewhere far from him. So then that person is said to be in the divine consciousness, like Bhagwan Shri Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, the person in the divine consciousness, although he is seeing although he is smelling, although he is tasting, although he is hearing, although he is touching, and although he is evacuating, doing different activities, that is the interaction of the senses between the objects of the senses, but he knows that he is not doing anything, that all this is being carried out by the material nature, so that person is known to be a person of divine consciousness. Even Krishna also says the same thing, no? Nakartritvam nakarmani. He said that the soul does not create activities. No, he does not induce others to perform activities. So when a person, he sees himself as being different, that is all these actions which my senses are being performed, all this is being carried by the material nature. Let's take the example of, if I would not have been able to speak, will I be able to speak now? Let's say for example my vocal cord would have got some infection. I will not be able to speak right now, is it? Just like somebody who does not have hand, that is his hand has been chopped off through some surgical operation, will he be able to cook something or do some job in his somewhere? No, not possible. So this hand is provided by the material nature. So whatever action he is performing through the senses, all this is being carried by their material nature. So when the person, he sees it in that perspective, so he is in the liberated stage. He sees that whatever action I'm doing, I'm not doing anything. Even for Krishna, when he cooks for Krishna, he has the thoughts that I am not doing anything, I am just sitting inside this city of nine gate. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. He sees himself that he is sitting in this city of nine gates and that he is not doing anything, everything is being done by the senses. So when he engages in the service of Krishna in that mood, so that person is worthy of the mercy of Krishna. He gets the full blessing of Krishna, of Srimati Radharani. That's why it is said that when devotees, they cook in the kitchen for the pleasure of the cook and they offer the deity, actually they are not, they think that I am not qualified to cook these preparations, these nice kofta, nice paneer, this and that. It is only Srimati Radharani's blessing, that is Srimati Radharani is the best cook because she got the mercy, no, from Durvasa Muni, that she can cook different items for the pleasure of Sri Krishna, right? So she's the one who is cooking. I am not doing anything. And also the pujari, before he enters the deity department or he enters the kitchen, he first of all offers his obeisances to his spiritual master, saying, "My dear spiritual master, I don't have the qualification, but you please guide me." So which means that we are assisting him in his service. He is doing the things. I am not doing anything. So when the devotee, the Vaishnava cook in that mood, that kind of preparation, the Lord accept it. Because when Krishna, he says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. He said that you offer me fruits, leaves, flowers and everything, these paraphernalia, but with love and devotion. So love and devotion means in that sense that I am not doing anything. That is, I is a characteristic of the false ego, I and mine. It is only my desire, because in the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it explains that for whatever action we perform, there are five factors which is very important. And what are these five factors? Is the place where the action is being performed. Secondly, the Paramatma. And thirdly, the soul. And fourth, endeavor. So it is said that the endeavor is more important. So the soul, he just endeavor, and then the action is being carried by the material nature, being directed by the Paramatma. The Paramatma directs the senses to do these actions.
We simply need to endeavor. That is the desire. That's all. So this is how it works. So when Krishna he says, you offer me with love and devotion means I am not doing. It is not me, not my false ego. So then in that mood, when a person he engages, then Krishna is pleased and Krishna gives him full blessing. So then the next point is, when... So how to be free from this false ego is only by getting the full blessing of the Vaishnavas. When we doing the service, we think that we are not qualified to do this, but we put ourselves as a humble servant, we become humble. So then everything got happen. And in this way, we will not come into bondage in this material world. So Lord Vishnu, when he is pleased with the devotee, like for example here, Lord Vishnu is mentioned that he come and he enjoy the offerings being offered to him as sacrifices. So you will see in the previous verses, in verse number 9, anyway, I forget the verse. But it was in a previous verse that it mentioned that Maharaj Gaya, because he was doing everything without this concept of I and mine, without this false ego. So that's why each and everybody was very happy with him in his kingdom. So then we can see that Lord Vishnu also came in that place and then to get his share of the his share of the sacrifice. So we can see that in the previous verse that when the daughter of Daksha, all the daughters, actually Daksha has 24 daughters, and of the 24 daughters, all the daughters were bathing Maharaj Gaya. They were doing so much Seva of Maharaj Gaya with all happiness and everything. They were really very happy to serve Maharaj Gaya. Why is this? We will see that in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Lord Shiva was being blasphemed by Daksha, so all Sati became very disturbed, and this makes Sati to commit suicide, to enter the fire at the sacrifice of Daksha. So Sati became very, very disturbed when he sees that her husband is being criticized. So in other words, because Daksha has committed so many offense towards Lord Shiva, this has not pleased Sati. So we can see that for a chaste lady like Sati, although Daksha is her father, but she was not, her father has not been able to please her. So like this, because her father has failed to please her by appreciating Lord Shiva, she said to her father, "My dear father, as from today I am no more your daughter." So she just gave up her body. She said that, "I am not your daughter, this body belongs to you, so now I'm going to give this body up." And then she just entered the fire and got burned. Burn the body. She said, "As from today, I'm tiaging this body. I am renouncing this body because of this body you gave it. So now this body, which belongs to you because you have been criticizing a pure Vaishnava, I don't want this body." So you may say that because Sati, who is Durga herself, not being pleased with Daksha, how she commit this suicide, she reject this type of body given by her father because of this false ego, criticizing Lord Shiva. Because on that day, when Daksha, he came into the assembly of all the demigods and the sages, so everybody stood up and offering respects.
Only Lord Shiva did not get up, but Lord Shiva in fact offered him respect but from within. But because his eyes, because he was looking through the eyes of the mind, he cannot perceive the respect of Lord Shiva being offered to him. So that's why he feel offended. Then he started to criticize Lord Shiva. So you see, a person with false ego, he is always very proud of himself. He thinks himself that I am the best person in this world. I am very happy. I am the worthy person. I am the best person in this world. So because of this pride, he offended Lord Shiva. Upon offending Lord Shiva, this has become a great displeasure for Sati, which eventually she commits suicide. But here on the other hand, we see the same Daksha, whose daughter were bathing Maharaj Gaya. Because Maharaj Gaya was doing everything without this false ego. Even in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, no? That the person who, although doing everything and is residing in this body, in this city of Nine Gate, and he does not see himself the doer, so that person, he lives happily in the city of Nine Gates. So this point is really very important. He feels happily in the city of Nine Gate. That is, he is happy with his own self. From within, he is happy with his own self. So it is said, there is an English proverb, he said, one who is good to himself will be good to everyone. If you are good with your own self, with your own mind, so certainly you will be good to each and everyone. So how is this possible? Only when doing everything without this false ego. So he lives happily in the city of Nine Gate, and then he says, Krishna says, he becomes the lovable objects of all the living entities in this material world. That's why Krishna says that this person who is doing all actions, he is a jnani. He is a jnani. It's not necessarily that he should do action, but yet he is doing action. But he does action, not thinking himself the doer. He said, that jnani is my very soul. I consider him to be my very soul. So this is a position of jnani. He says that this jnani who knows that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is engaging in all sorts of activities. He is a jnani. You may say he is a jnana mishra bhakta. He is engaging in jnana together with bhakti. He said, this jnani is my very soul, because he knows me as bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhrida sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. You see at the end what he says, gyatva mam shantim richati. He is always peaceful. Why? Because he knows that I am the bhokta. I bhokta yagya, I bhokta tapasa. I bhokta sacrifices and I bhokta tapasya of the ascetics. Sarva loka maheshwaram. I am the Ishwar, the Lord of all the planets and all the demigods. Suhrida sarva bhutanam. I am also the well-wisher of each and every living entity in this material world. So that person, he is always peaceful. He said, that type of jnani, he is very dear to me. I consider him to be my very soul. But then he says, you Uddhava, you are more dear than my very soul. He says, not even Brahma is as dear to me. Not even Lord Shiva is dear to me. Not even Lakshmi, who sit on my bosom, is as dear to me as you, my dear Uddhava. So, which means, and then he also says, Krishna, even my own self is not so dear to me as you are dear to me, my dear Uddhava. So which means that his own self, when he is saying my own self, he is referring to that jnani. That jnani, whom Krishna has declared that he is my very self. He said, of course he is my very self, but you are more dear. Which means that the bhakta's position is even higher than the jnani, because the bhakta are more dear than the jnanis and even the yogis. This is a point. It's not that the yogis has not rise above the three moods, because rising above the three moods is not actually the ultimate goal of life. Brahma bhuta prasanatma. Even when Ramananda Rai, he told Mahaprabhu, he said, when one reaches the stage of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, that is the ultimate goal. Then Mahaprabhu said, you say something further. Then he mentioned, and ultimately he reached to the level of Prema, he said, when one engaging in Prema. So this is the position of a Bhakta. The Bhakta, because he offered himself totally to Krishna, just like when Krishna, he went at Kurukshetra, he went to meet all the gopis, and from Dwarka he came to Kurukshetra, all the coward boys, Maharani Kurti, and all the Pandavas went there to have a meeting on Ekadashi day at Kurukshetra. So he went there and he met each and everybody, Maharaj Nanda, everyone he met there, Krishna. And then at the end, he went in a secluded place, he met the gopis. And what he says to the gopis? He says, my dear gopis, actually by engaging in my devotional service intimately, he mentioned this word, intimately, it's in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad, 9th canto I think, or 10th canto. So he says, because you have been engaging in my devotional service with intimacy, you will not only achieve liberation, but you have achieved me. You have got me as your property. Which means that as from today, I am your property. But Krishna doesn't become the property of the jnani. He doesn't become the property of the yogi. But he becomes the property of the bhaktas. This is the greatness of bhaktas. That's why when he becomes the property of the bhaktas, you see that Mother Yashoda, he can just take Krishna like this and then bind him to the grinding motor. Because he says, I belong to my bhakta. So the jnani is very dear to Krishna. Krishna likes him. It's not that Krishna... So a devotee, he tries to identify himself, his relation to the Supreme. It's not that Krishna, like Krishna, he says, I am not partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but my devotees are very dear to me. It's not that he doesn't like others, no. He likes each and everyone. Even the most fallen, sinful person, even the most karmis, he says that I am the fire in the stomach, I digest food. So even somebody is eating ghost mass, even that food he digests, Krishna. Yeah, he says he's a heat in the stomach, no? And he's digesting everything. And he's providing rain for everyone. He's providing sun for everyone. Even though he's the most fallen person, he's taking advantage of the rain, of the sun, and of everything. Which means that he loves everyone. But my devotee, he has a special place in my heart. That's what Krishna really means when he says. So, he says that this jnani, when he engages in my service in that mood, not seeing himself being the doer, so that jnani, I consider him to be my very soul. So when a person engages in that matter, in that manner, then Lord Vishnu, he is very, very, very pleased. Yagyarthat karma no nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. No? He said that sacrifice has to be performed. And sacrifice is to be performed for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, action has to be performed for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, action causes bondage in this material world. Because whatever actions he is doing only to please Lord Vishnu. And how he will please Lord Vishnu? How? By doing everything without the aham, without the mama mameti, without this conception of I and mine. So that's why Srila Rupa Goswami, he has established the loving exchange among the Vaishnavas. For this, these loving exchanges is the only thing which will make one free of the false ego in order to please the Supreme Lord. You see, our acharyas has put forward all the principles in order to achieve Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, being so merciful to the fallen conditioned soul, he has take these teachings and go out and distribute it to each and everyone. And even now, the teachings is still being distributed. So you see how our acharyas, Srila Rup Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami has compiled this, the Nectar of Instruction, Upadikshamrit, NOI, where he explains that how these loving exchanges can take place among Vaishnavas. As you can see, we are mentioning loving exchanges. So generally, we see that even we become devotees, this lust always pesters us. Sometimes it happens. It pesters the devotees. So why is this? Why this lust always pesters the devotees? Although we are engaging in the service of Krishna. The reason is so simple. Because what is the opposite of lust? The opposite of lust is love, no? That is, our love which we have for Bhagwan Shri Krishna has been transformed into lust in this material world, right? So in order to be free from this lust, what we'll have to do? Just develop love for Krishna. And what is this love? What does love mean, actually? In fact, in this material world, each and everyone has their own concept of love. Like, for example, I say, I love you, so which means this is love. But this is not really love. This is lust, yes? So, what does actually the real concept, the real meaning of love according to the scriptures? Love means that I don't love my body as much as I love Krishna's body. My body is not so important as Krishna's body. My body does not have that much greatness as Krishna's body. My body is not so beautiful as Krishna's body. So when a person, he engages in the service of Krishna in that mood, that's why it is said that when the brahmachari, the new bhaktas, when they first join the temple, they will have to do menial service. So this, in order to develop this mood, that my body is not important. His body is more important. His temple is more important than mine. So then this kind of activities frees oneself from, he free oneself from this conception of I and mine. That is, he think that my body is not important, but it is Krishna's body who is important. That's why he cooked the best food to offer Krishna. And he himself, he does not expect that he will enjoy this food afterwards. That's why after cooking the food, the pujari he offered to Krishna, he distributes all these prasadam to each and everyone. Even though he doesn't get anything, he gets only one single tulsi leaves, he's fully satisfied. Because my body is not so important. For ages I have been eating. I have been feeling this belly. I have been feeling so many bellies. Before I had another body and I have been feeling the belly. Now in this body also I am feeling the belly. In the next body I will continue to feel the belly. So for how many ages I will continue to feel the bellies? And then at the end what we do, we take the belly together with the body and bones and we put it in the Shamshan Ghat and then get burned there. Is this intelligent? So he says, my body is useless. Because I have been wasting my time just in feeding my body, giving him nice pakwan. Of course, the devotee he eats. But when the devotee he eats only something so that he can maintain body and soul together in order to engage in the service of Krishna. Only for that purpose. It's not that the devotee does not eat. No, I'm not telling this. The devotee eats, but he eats little. He eats whatever is being required by his body, and then if his body is fit enough, then he engages in the service. So this is a point. So when he forgets his body and he remembers Krishna's body, that is love. That is devotion. That is a Vedic conception of devotion, of love. Not me, but Krishna. So when one engages like this, then he is happy. So that's why Srila Rupa Goswami has set up this principle in the fourth text of the Upadikshamrit, where he says, "Dadati pratigrinati." He gives a charity and he accepts in return. He gives charity and then he accepts charity in return. So these loving exchanges, that is offering. So when one is offering, actually the mood is supposed to be like that. That is, these things does not belong to me. It actually belongs to Krishna. So in order to please that devotee, I am offering him this. So that's why the devotees do like this. So there is a loving exchange. So that's why when taking prasadam, it's always that you will see each and everyone is very eager to serve each and everybody. Everyone is very eager to serve. Yes, I want to serve him. I want to serve him. Why this serving mood? Why this serving attitude? Because he wants to make himself understand that all these things does not belong to me. It belongs only to Krishna. So that's why he keep on engaging like this. So when the devotee, also it is said that offering gifts, sometimes we can give a small gift to a devotee, and then accepting gifts also. So these kind of loving exchanges among the Vaishnavas, it actually the cure to be freed from this lust. And by engaging in that way, the person, the devotee, he attains the full blessing of Krishna. He sees, because he sees Krishna in each and everyone. Not only in the person who fulfill his expectations. This is actually our disease condition. We condition soul, it is a disease in us. That we try to serve, just like, you know, even outside person also are serving their family members, isn't it? Why? Because he feels that these person are fulfilling my expectations. But when the devotee he engages in the service of others, he does not see that this person is a person who is fulfilling my expectations, but he just engages in the service. Because this is a disease condition. We have this concept because for ages we have been associating with the material nature and we have developed this mentality. That is, a person who is fulfilling my expectations, he is very dear to me. He deserves to be served. So when we free from this concept, we engage in each and everyone's service, so then that is the perfection of life. Even though the person who is not, who is our foe, we serve him. Even Lord Jesus says in the Bible, he says, love your enemy as your own self. If your foe is being hungry, give him food to eat. And if your foe is feeling thirsty, give him something to drink. So love your foe as yourself. Love each and everyone as you would love your own self. That's why it is said that sometimes, very often we say that I am not being treated properly. I am being treated like this, like that. So it is said, in order not to have this feeling, which is simply a function of the Gyanindriya, Sparsha, sensation of touch, this feeling, that we serve, there is one point, serve others the way you would like to be served. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. The way that you want to be treated, you treat others like that. You want people to respect you. Yeah, it's something natural. You want people to have some sweet talk with you. Yes? You want others to talk nicely, always helpful to you. So then you treat others like this. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And by engaging in the service of Krishna in that mood, to each and every living entity, including outside person, including persons who are not, who are not devotees, like Krishna says that every Uttama Adhikari, he sees everyone devotee, but the Madhyama, he make difference between devotees and non-devotees, so that he can preach to the non-devotees to make them devotee. So even outside person, when he sees them
He treats them the way he wants to be treated, like the way he was being treated when he first joined ISKCON. The thing that has inspired him to join. So he do the same thing to others, so then that person receives the full blessing of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu, he says that the person who preach with love, that person deserves my mercy. Even though he commit an abominable mistake, he will be excused. So treat others like this. So when a person he engage in that mood, then he is on the safe side. Always getting the full blessing, and he will be always swimming in the ocean of nectar of Krishna consciousness. Always. He will never feel himself separate from this Krishna consciousness. He will always feel from within totally happy and blissful inside himself. So that is the point. This is the understanding. Thank you very much. It's already 9 o'clock, and I first of all offer my most humble obeisances and to all the Vaishnavas present here. And I pray that whatever I have said I can put in my own spiritual life for my own purification and my spiritual upliftment to serve all the Vaishnavas, the senior Vaishnavas who are here, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Although I'm not qualified to speak, but by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I've got the opportunity to speak. Thank you very much. And if in case you have some question, please ask your question. I will try to answer the question and also some comments. Please. Yes, sir. Mike? Yeah. Actually, the bhaktas, he controls his mind, and Prabhuji's question is, please repeat the question, that is how the bhaktas control the, compared to the jnanis and the yogis. Yeah, how the bhaktas control his mind and his senses in comparison to the jnanis and the yogis. So the jnanis, he controls his mind and senses through study of the scriptures. When he studies the scriptures, he sees that Krishna is talking to him. He does not see that he is reading. He does not see himself as being the reader. But he sees that Krishna is instructing him. The other way around. So this helps him to control his senses. He develops some kind of loving relation between him and the scripture. And the Shastra. He sees Krishna in the scriptures. And the yogis, he sees Krishna as Paramatma. He meditates on Krishna, like Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni was a Yoga Mishra Bhakti, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Kardama Muni, he was meditating on the Paramatma. And then when Bhagwan came, Bhagwan Vishnu came and then tell him, I know what is in your heart, because I am seated in your heart as the Paramatma, so I'm going to fulfill that. So that's why he sent Mata Devuti. He said very soon a very great emperor is going to will come and meet you, and he will marry you with his daughter, and in this way you will beget children. He got 9 daughters, and at the end, after marrying all his daughters, he gave he pregnant Mata Devhuti, and Mata Devhuti gave birth to Bhagwan Shri Kapil Dev. So Lord Vishnu, so the yogis, he meditate on the Paramatma. But the bhaktas, he controls his mind and senses by engaging in loving devotion. Loving devotion to Krishna. By offering himself. Offering, he thinks within himself that all this body, these objects of the senses which is in my possession is not for me. Isa vasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjidaha maghridaha kasya swit dhanam. He said all this become to Krishna. It doesn't belong to me. So he engages everything. he sees himself, his body, that it does not belong to me, but it belongs to Krishna. So this body ought to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So that's why he keeps on reading the katha of Maharaj Ambarish. The perfect example is Maharaj Ambarish. You can follow, in fact, all the devotees, we can follow in the footsteps of course, all the Vaishnavas in the Bhagavatam are exemplary. But Maharaj Ambarish, he gave a perfect example. All his 24 hours and all his senses were fully engaged in the service of Krishna. His eyes were using only in seeing Krishna. His tongue only in tasting Krishna prasadam and talking about Krishna katha. His voice, vocal, which is one of the karmendriya, we have 5 karmendriya and 5 gyanendriya. So all his 5 karmendriya and his 5 gyanendriya, knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses, action senses, were fully engaged in the service of Krishna. Engaged in the service of Krishna means that even for one moment he does not engage his senses in doing other activities, like his tongue, which is the most uncontrollable organ in our body. He does not engage his tongue in doing gramya katha, but always in doing Krishna katha and chanting the name of Krishna. He does not do prajalpa with his tongue. The only reason that nowadays we are facing all this problem, even sometimes it happens that we do some kind of small prajalpas somewhere. This is the only reason that sometimes this lust come and disturb us. If you make the experience on an Ekadashi day, you wake up early in the morning, the whole day, you engage fully in the service of Krishna, and you will see the difference in the evening or the next day on the Dwadashi. Make this experience. Perhaps you have experienced it on Nirjala Ekadashi, where your senses are fully engaged in the service of Krishna. Fully, not even for 1 second is not being engaged in doing some other activities. Only Krishna. Only Krishna. Only Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your nice question. Really inspiring. Yes, Prabhu. Please.
Hare Krishna. Chalo. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu. A bit louder.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me, Prabhu? No.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
It's not working?
The mic is not working. Is there anybody who can?
It's working. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, a devotee.
Hare Krishna.
A devotee is rendering loving service to Krishna and he does not expect anything from Krishna. He only wants to worship. But still, Krishna out of love, he wants to do something.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
I don't want to take anything from you, I want only serve you.
Prabhuji is asking the question that a devotee, I will repeat the question, a devotee, he is engaging in the service of Krishna and sometimes being pleased by the devotee, Krishna wanted to offer something in return to the devotee. So what should the devotee do when Krishna is offering something to the devotee? He should say, Krishna, no, I don't want these things, or he should just accept it. Actually, it is a really very interesting question. First of all, I would like to thank you, Prabhuji, for this very nice question. And it happens in the lives of all the devotees. So it depends upon the level of the devotee. It depends upon the level of the devotee, so that in that way Krishna will offer something depending upon the level of the devotee, and in this way the devotee will see the mercy of Krishna through the offering that Krishna is offering him. Like for example, the example of Dhruva Maharaj. We take a perfect example in the Bhagavatam is Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj, he was doing austerity because he has been insulted by his stepmother, Mother Suruchi. So he was doing tapasya, meditating on Krishna at the Yamuna Nadi in Madhuvan. In Madhuvan, we have been there for the parikrama. So Dhruva Maharaj, when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of him and said, "My dear Dhruva, tell me what you want. I know that you want the kingdom, so I am ready to offer this to you. Then he said, my dear Lord, actually, I was expecting some broken pieces of glasses as the kingdom. But having your darshan, my dear Vishnu, I am totally satisfied. I don't want anything. But yet, Lord Vishnu told him, he said, no, because you have asked for that thing, I will have to give it to you. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. He asked the Lord, please liberate my forefathers. When Narsingadev offered him, asked him, what you want? Then he said, please liberate my forefathers from this material world, back home, back to Godhead. So actually a devotee, when he is being offered of something from the Supreme Lord, he accepts it as a blessing, but he does not become proud of it. The example is Sudama Vipra. He went to meet Lord Krishna at Dwarka. Krishna served him very intimately, with very lovingly. And when he returned back home, he did not ask the Lord for anything. So when he returned home, he sees that there has been a alishan, big palace waiting for him. His wife is well dressed, everything. But yet, he told his wife, this point is to be noted, he told his wife, he said, my dear wife, my dear Dharampatni ji, please, it is Krishna's blessing who has given us all this wealth, but don't become proud of this wealth which Krishna has offered us. Don't become pride. Instead, use it to please others. Use it to serve others. So this is a mood of the devotee. That is, he accepted. He accepted it. It's not that he rejected. We are not like the Mayavadis who said that Jagan Mithya, you know, that everything is false. No. Even this, Prabhupada said that this is temporary. But even these temporary things can be accepted. We are bhaktas. So the bhaktas, he accepts. But he engages it. He does not become proud. It is said that the person who becomes proud of material possession, which means that he has attachment for this possession. Chanaka Pandit said. Chanaka Pandit said that the person who is proud of his possessions, it is very clear that this person has attachment for these things. He is proud of his possessions. So, get yourself detached from this and then... Okay, Prabhu, he accepted. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu, please.
Is the sense gratification...
Excuse me?
Sense gratification...
Okay.
Is it equal to Maya or it is a product of Maya?
Is it the...
Product of Maya? Sense gratification is product of Maya or... What?
Prabhuji is asking the question that sense gratification is a product of Maya?
Or Maya itself.
Or Maya itself. I think this question should be asked to Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj gave a class at Mayapur. Recently I was there and Maharaj was explaining about Maya, the meaning of Maya. So... Product of Maya is Maya itself, no? Is it? Product of Maya is Maya itself, no, Prabhuji?
There's Yoga Maya and there's Maha Maya. Okay. Internal potency, external potency. If you want to recognize it as Maya, you can. So it is. But it's actually the energy of Krishna, so it's Krishna. It depends on the circumstance. Always the perspective of the individual is what, as you mentioned, is what you reflect upon. You only see your own perspective.
Yeah.
So if your perspective is Maya, it's Maya, but actually it's Krishna. So it's his energy, one way or the other. It's illusion or it's illusion. And the most exalted devotees are affected by, for his pleasure, another aspect of Maya. Is that okay?
Nice point. Nice point, Prabhuji has said. So which means that if we see it as Maya, then it is Maya. Otherwise it is not Maya. If we see Maya, because like Prabhuji is saying that Maya Dhyaksha, you know, he says that this material world is being ruled by my external energy. And this external energy is my divine energy. And it's difficult to overcome. So if we seize it in that way, then it is not Maya. But in fact, engaging the senses in sense gratification is actually Maya. You may say product of Maya, Maya. Maya and product of Maya is Maya himself. Prabhuji gave a very nice. Okay.
Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
One small question.
Yeah. Last question.
Yeah. What is the origin of mind?
Oh, the mind actually is a product of the false ego. It is said that when the Lord he activates the material nature, the 24 elements, the pradhana. So the pradhana is transformed into prakriti. And it is said that the first thing that gets utpan from the mahatattva is the false ego. This concept of I and mine is the false ego. And there is the three stages of the false ego. There is false ego in the mood of goodness, false ego in the mood of passion, and false ego in the mood of ignorance. So false ego in the mood of goodness produces a mind. Is a product of the false ego. False ego in the mood of goodness is mind. False ego in the mood of passion is the intelligence and the five working senses and the five knowledge acquiring senses. And false ego in the mood of ignorance is the five gross element and the five subtle element. Panchabhuta. You read the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev to Mata Devhuti. Very interesting. Thank you very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय भगवद्वाणी श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे